Let us turn our Bibles this morning to Matthew chapter 16. Matthew 16. Matthew chapter 16, we want to begin our reading from verse 24. Matthew 16, verses 24 to 28. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, If any man will come after me, let him deny himself, and take up his cross, and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what is a man profiteth if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he shall reward every man according to his works. Verily I say unto you, there be some standing here which shall not taste of death, till they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. Amen. Let me read again those words found in verse 26. For what is a man profiteth if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? These are two questions that the Lord Jesus Christ puts to you this morning. What profits you if you gain the whole world, but yet you lose your own soul? And if you do lose your soul, what can you do to regain it, to bring it back? We want to consider these words of the Lord Jesus Christ and ask this question to you this morning. Your life, how much is it worth? I see two extremes in life. One extreme is that people don't value life. They have no respect for life, no sense of the dignity of life. These are people who are pro-abortionists, who have no care for innocent children in a mother's womb, and who for pragmatic reasons will proceed with abortion to kill a life. These are those who are terrorists, who have no concern for innocent lives. And for the sake of promoting their own agenda, they will even kill innocent children and blast an institution. And they're so concerned about how many people are there in the building. This is one extreme of life. People have no concern for the value of life. Well, the other extreme is that there are those who overvalue life. What is important is that I enjoy my life and live it to the fullest. And these are those who say that the meaning of life is to feel good about life. And what is important is that I feel that life is good for me. I enjoy the pleasures of life. And these are those who care for their beauty, who care for fashion, who care about making money. But Jesus here teaches in these words what it means to know the true meaning of life. He tells us here how we ought to value life. Again, the question from the Lord Jesus Christ is very disturbing, very provoking. What profits your life if you gain everything, but you take no care for your own soul? What is that profit? So we ask the question, your life, how much is it worth? And we want to take the words of the Lord Jesus Christ to understand what life is. So three things we want to look at this morning as we present these words of Christ to you. First of all, your life is not valued by how much you gain in this world. Secondly, your life is valued by having Christ in your life. And then thirdly, if the soul is lost, nothing can regain it. Your life. And this is what we want to speak about this morning. We are not speaking about something abstract. We are not speculating about some high theology. We are speaking about your life. How much is your life worth? How do you evaluate your own life? If this morning I ask you to put a price on your life, how much price would you put on it? How much do you think your life is worth? The world evaluates the worth and value of a person by adding up all his abilities, all his assets, all his education, all his talents. And that is what Forbes magazine does. Forbes is a business magazine, and every year it will do an evaluation of the richest people on earth in this continent and the other continent. And then it will take all their assets and evaluate it, and then count all their wealth, and then they will say, this person is worth this much, because this is his assets, and these are his investments. How much would you put as a price on your life? Sportsmen, of course, are worth a lot of money today in the sporting arena. David Beckham, for the bending of that ball, his legs cost millions. Tiger Woods, another individual that earns millions. How much is your life? When I asked this question to myself, I was very curious about how much a mother is worth. Because a mother is not active in the economy, she stays at home, she cares for the children. For many in society, a mother that stays home is worth nothing. All she gets is Mother's Day, once a year, she gets some appreciation. But how much is a mother's worth? So out of curiosity, I looked back at some files and I found this. How much a mother is worth? The total sum, US$641,900 a year in income. Because your mother, children, is a caretaker at home. Monthly annual income, $22,256. She is also a chef that puts food on the table. And for that, it's worth $25,110. She reads the email, she takes care of the things at home, the computer system, an analyst, worth $60,860. And she is a financial manager at home that takes care of the finances and knows where to spend the money. For that, she is worth $70,366. And she is an office general clerk, a very low title already for a mother. And for that, she is worth $24,128. She's a nurse that takes care of your health and for all your sicknesses. For that, $45,000. Child care worker, housekeeper, psychologist, bus driver, elementary school principal. She is a dietitian that takes care of your meal. She is a property manager. She is a social worker that takes care of the neighbors. And all this adds up to $600,000 a year. How much is your life worth? Now, Jesus here poses a question to every one of you this morning. So what if your life is worth so much money, whether you are active or not active economically, whether you are earning millions or you have talents in other areas? So what, Jesus says, if you earn the whole world and gain everything in this life? What profits a man if he gains the whole world, Jesus says, and loses his own soul? Now Jesus here is using a kind of speech called hyperbole. He exaggerates a situation in order to emphasize a point. Even if you gain the whole world, nobody can do that. But in case you are able to gain the whole world, you have everything that is in your hands. So what if you lose your soul? Is your life going to be better? Is there advantage if you gain the whole world? Now Jesus asked this question because Jesus wants to teach a very profound truth. He's trying to teach us this morning that the good life, the true life, is not determined by how much of the world you gain. True life is not measured in terms of assets and abilities and talents. True life is measured in other ways. What Jesus says here this morning, of course, is against all that we see in the modern society. Singapore, of course, is a very affluent city. Life here is very modern. And how do Singaporeans look at one another? How do we value each other's lives? Look at our credit. Whether you stay in a posh address, whether you drive a nice car and then you cruise down the CTE, whether you have a number of investments, whether you have the ability to move to another area and to make a new life in a new country. And this is how people evaluate our worth here in this city. We seem to think that the value of life is measured by things, by materials, by assets. Of course, the media plays on our greed and covetousness. And so we let the media influence us. You want a good life? Drive to Mercedes Benz. You want a comfortable home? Try moving in into this area with all good facilities. And then we allow our greed, our covetousness, to lead us astray. Jesus says, so what if you gain all these things? Is your life better? Now, this challenges us, doesn't it? Because we are a very materialistic society. What are the things in life that are important to you? Is it Christ? Is it your spiritual life? Is it your eternal destiny? Or is it all these earthly things that you want to enjoy? A materialistic life has problems. And I want to tell you what problems are before I tell you what Jesus says about what a good and true life is. Problem number one with a materialistic life: our cravings for material life will never be totally satisfying. Choices are many. You buy this today, next month another model comes. And then you realize that your neighbors have something much better than you. How long is this craving going to last? Frankly, it does not last. Because a desire for material things breeds covetousness. It makes us crave for more things. And we must come to a stop in our craving. The more we crave, the more we want to have. So a materialistic lifestyle will never be totally satisfying. Problem number two: when we put all the emphasis on indulgence and material things and pleasing ourselves, we become very cold, very insensitive in life. Maybe some of you may not agree with me, but I think we are becoming a very cold society. Not like the good old days when you open the doors, you leave it open. You can freely interact with your neighbors. You exchange things with your neighbors. Your neighbors will bring food, you give thanks, you cook another meal, you give to your neighbors. And in the good old days when we visit one another, we take apples and oranges. I remember the days when my mother also brought chickens. There's a lot of neighborliness, a lot of friendliness and kindness. But we are far too individualistic today. We want to live for self, and we become far too cold, insensitive to our friends and neighbors. And if we live like this, I put to you that we are less than human. Because God makes us creatures that can feel, and feel for others. Problem number three: when we find pleasure in physical things, we become dependent on them for comfort. And that is why we have such a distorted perspective about the good life. We become so dependent on things, tangible things. We think that we need a couch that we can at least rest and relax at the end of the day, must be a good one. We need a TV, well, maybe today an LCD, a DVD, and then we depend on these things too much that when we need to downgrade because of changes in circumstances, we find it very, very hard to downgrade because we are far too dependent on material things. I was quite amused at one interview about a few weeks ago. It was over Chinese radio, and that commentator was interviewing this the public. Would you give up your job here in Singapore to go to China, in one part of China, in a village, and then to maybe work for a number of years? Then there was this comment, this response from a young lady that struck me. She said, "I will never do that." Well, Singaporeans, no lah, I won't do that. Because I cannot use my handphone. I'm so dependent on my handphone, I need to talk to my friends. We're far too dependent on technology. Problem number four. We become image conscious, body conscious, status conscious. It's okay for ladies to go for Botox. Ladies, after all, are concerned about beauty. But when you have men today going for Botox to try to maintain their youth by cosmetic surgery, I don't understand. Sheer vanity, isn't it? Because you are far too image conscious. I think most of us will know who Jack Neo is in Singapore. And I know many of you have watched that show, I'm Not Stupid. But I think what he portrayed there in that movie is very real in life. There are mothers today in our country that say to their children, don't talk and interact with EM3 students. Because we are far too status conscious. Problem of a materialistic lifestyle. And Jesus says, is this the life you want to live? What is the point of gaining the whole world and you lose your own soul? Now Jesus here of course is telling us that there's another way to live. There's another life that is far better than the present life that we are living. Verse 25, it says, for whosoever will save his life shall lose that life, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake will find the true life. Here Jesus is speaking about another kind of life, a better life. And at the same time he tells us that our life is not right. Why isn't our life right? That is an important question. There must be a distortion somewhere. Somewhere we must have gone wrong. Surely God created us to know the true life. We are not living that life. Somewhere, something must have gone wrong. Where is that distortion? And I think here we mustn't blame society. It's very quick for any one of us to blame society. It's not me. I'm like that because of the media. And because my boss and my colleagues, everyone live this way, and so I have to go along with the culture. Let's be honest, let's not blame anybody else. The problem is not with anyone else. The media plays on our greed, on our covetousness. Our life is wrong because of the greed that is within our lives. The Bible calls this sin. Greed and covetousness are only two of the many sins in our lives. And our sins are many. Adultery, idolatry, stealing, cheating, deceiving, uncontrolled anger, abuse, violence, gossiping. And the most fundamental sin is not believing in God. Godlessness. And because people don't have God, they fill their lives with many earthly things. And because you have God, you mustn't
mustn't fill your life with earthly things. Because satisfaction in life is not in things. Satisfaction in life is in God and Jesus Christ. And that is the second thing we want to look at. Your life is valued by having Christ in your life. Jesus, in verse 25, tells us the true value of life. Whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. These words are confusing, difficult to understand. People who read this for the first time will become very puzzled at the teachings of the Lord Jesus Christ here. He says that we have to lose our life in order to find our life. Confusing indeed. What is Jesus saying here? Jesus is telling us that the true value of life is not in having more of this world. In fact, he says the true value of life is in losing everything in this world. Now that of course is very hard to do. Jesus says, give up that life, lose this world for my sake, and when you do that, you will find the true meaning in life. Losing everything for the sake of Jesus Christ. What is Jesus teaching here? There are some religions that say, in order to find the true meaning in life, you must dispose of every material things, retreat to a quiet place, and live an ascetic life. What struck when I went to India for the first time for a conference, I was there with Pastor Kottering. We went to a very hilly part of the country, and because it was a very hilly country, there was a lot of sacred sites, because it was very near to the nature. And there was a time when there were pilgrims going up that hill, that mountain. They were all without clothes. They had markings on their body. They carried a stick. The one leading them was a guru with a very long beard. And they were, of course, trying to be very near to nature to meditate. And they left everything behind to live a life of poverty in order to know the true meaning in life. And here in Singapore, you must be very careful of religious teachers who say to you, let me control your assets. Let me take charge of your finances. Let me take charge of your home. Listen to my teachings and you will know the true meaning of life. There are religious leaders like this in our city who use the name of religion to dispose everything that you have and take it from you. Jesus surely is not saying that. Dispose everything, follow me, and then you will have the true life. Jesus is saying that we have to dispose not things, but rather we have to dispose our greed, our covetousness, our love for self. And that is why in verse 24, Jesus puts this challenge to his disciples. If any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. This is the challenge. Deny yourself, not deny the things that you have. A person may be very poor, but still he is very self-centered. He's not satisfied in life, and is always craving, desiring, very ambitious. The problem is not with things. And that is why Christians can enjoy all the things of this life. It's fine if you have the resources in your life to live a good life. But you must never be governed by the sin of greed and covetousness. Problem is not in things. It's in the self. It's in the greed. It's in the ambition in your life. And Jesus says that sin and greed and self must go. And you must follow after me. Now this of course is very difficult to do. If it is just disposing things to find true life, I think many of us will find it very easy. dispose my LCD, dispose my computer, dispose the car, dispose this and that, live a simple life, I go to heaven. It's a religion of merits. But to give up the self, nobody is able to do that. Very hard. I think some of us may have read a series of books by a writer called William Bennett, who wrote a series of books on morality. He wrote, for example, a book which was the first series, The Moral Compass, The Compass of Moral Life or Moral Virtue, something like this. And then he went on to talk about virtues and he wrote about morality. It's easy to write a book on morality. But that same writer, William Bennett, was caught pants down when he was gambling in Las Vegas at a casino. And then he was questioned. You tell our children not to gamble, not to do this and that, and that we must live a moral life and we must be virtuous. But here you are wasting your money in gambling. It's very hard for you and for me to say the right things. But to give up our greed and covetousness is indeed very, very difficult. Sales every weekend, offers here, everywhere. Our choices are many in life, and we find it very difficult to give up. But Jesus here teaches us that if we want to find life, we need to follow Him. Why is this necessary? And here, of course, we have to turn away from all the things of this world and look at our Savior Jesus Christ. What is there in Christ that is so attractive, that is so appealing, that is so much better than the things of this life? Give up everything, yourself, follow me, you will find the true life. What is there in Christ that is much more satisfying than this life? We can say many things about Christ. Let me say three important things. First of all, Christ is our Savior. Christ is our Savior. And that is what the Bible teaches us, first of all, about the Lord Jesus Christ. The Son of God did not come to teach morality, to teach us how to be good to neighbors. That, of course, was something He emphasized all the time. But there was something much more important about the life of Christ. Christ went to the bitter death on the cross. And He died for sinners. And the reason why He took our sins upon Him to die for us is because He hung on the cross to give salvation to sinners. Again, the problem, I told you, is not about things. The problem is about sin and greed and covetousness, idolatry and adultery, etc. These are the things that are problems in our lives. And the fundamental sin problem is not believing in God. And the only way to deal with all this sin problem is to turn to the Lord Jesus Christ. Because Christ took our sins, He died for sinners, He opened the way to God, and then whoever believes in Him, He will give us His righteousness and life so that He will take us to heaven. We can stand before God and God will give us everlasting life in Christ. So Christ saved us out of this world of sin. Number one. Number two, Christ is the only way to be right with God. Singapore, of course, is just like any other society with many religions and teachings and philosophies, and this is a unique teaching of Christianity. Christ is the only way. Jesus makes it very clear in His teaching. He taught His disciples in John chapter 14 verse 6, I am the way, the truth and the life. There is no other way to the Father except by me. And here Jesus teaches us that there is only one way to Father in heaven. One way to get out of all this misery. One way to enjoy life with God is by turning to the Lord Jesus Christ. Believing in Him, receiving His righteousness. Now there is of course that temptation today to compromise this unique teaching of Christianity. We are very open-minded and we ought to blend into society with the rest. But this is the gospel for every sinner. Christ is the only way. Thirdly, we need to believe in Christ because only Christ can change your life. Only Christ can change your life and give you love, joy, and peace. Now, there is, of course, a lot of interest today about emotional well-being. There are some people who look at life and yes, they say life is really very frustrating. More and more, a lot of people who are educated are turning to another way of living. I'm fed up with the high life, frustrated with all the stress. What I need to do is to manage my emotional well-being. Emotional well-being can only make you cope with stress, make you relax perhaps for a while, make you cope with the changing circumstances. But emotional well-being cannot change your nature. It cannot bring you to God. Christ is the only one who can change that nature, who can give a conversion in your life and take away the sin and put the grace of God into your nature and completely transform your character and put in it the life of love and joy and peace and then change you so that you can live with God forever. And that is why for all these things Jesus says in verse 25, lose that life, follow me and take up the life that now I give to you. What if we persist in our own disobedience and we think, well, the earthly life is much better? God is very fair. God gives us many years of opportunity to turn around, to come back to Him. But a time when will come when our life will stop breathing and our hearts will cease beating. And then when that moment comes and we lose that life, we will never be able to gain it back. And this is what Jesus is really saying when He puts that question to you this morning. Verse 26, what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Now these words are written in Old English, and what Jesus is saying here is this: what shall a man give in return for his own life? And the question here implies that you can do nothing about it. Once your soul is lost, you can never do anything to gain it back. You can never give something to exchange it back so that you have a second opportunity. Now, this is very sobering thought, isn't it? And this implies a few things. First of all, we have only one life to repent, only one life to believe in God. Here Jesus Christ says in verse 27 that a time will come when the Son of Man will appear from heaven, and then He will reward every man according to his works. In other words, Jesus will return in judgment. After death, the Bible says, there will be judgment. There will be no more second opportunity for you to remake your life and to exchange your life and then to get it back. You have only one life to repent and believe in God. Implies number two, that your only opportunity to turn to God is in this life. God is everywhere in His creation. The entire creation testifies of the glory and the power of God. God has testified about His existence and power in the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And although Christ is in heaven and there He is praying for the church, but God speaks to the world from the written scriptures. God is present in the world and He gives to us His knowledge of salvation here in the scriptures. God is very real. And God gives us this life to believe in His word, to turn to Him and to receive Him. When that life is finished, there's no rebirth, there's no reincarnation. Many of us, of course, were once followers of pagan religions. I was a Buddhist before. And like some of you, we believe in rebirth. Not too long ago, I found my sister reading a book about rebirth. It was on a desk, so I took it up and I was reading that, and it was so typical of Chinese and paganistic religion. The story is about a person who has done a bad deed, and that means that if he does not repent, he will never be given the chance to come back in another form, and you will suffer everlasting punishment. And of course the Chinese believe that there's 8 stages of hell. One stage, another stage, and it is torment and torture. And if the person, however, is good, and the story goes that this person repents, and he turns around, he does a lot of good deeds, he contributes to charity, and because of that, and then later on in the story he died, he came back in another form. He is given another opportunity to release his life. The only opportunity for you this morning to turn to God is now, with this life God has given to you. Implication number 3, once we lose our life, Jesus says, we lose it forever. Many of us have things that are very sentimental. One of the things in my early childhood that was very sentimental to me, I think I took that thing more precious than my brothers and sisters, was a wooden heart that my father carved out for each and every one of us. My father was a carpenter. He spent 1 year in Christmas Island, and when he was away, he carved that little heart, and I lost it. But it was a wooden heart that my father kept it. Give it to every one of us, and I kept it for a long time, of sentimental value. And there were times I just took it out and I just admired it, carved and polished nicely, done. What was more important, it was my father made it. But after some years I lost it, could not find it anymore. And once you lose something like this and you cannot find it, you regret. But Jesus here says that it's not something sentimental that you are losing when your life ends. You are losing your very existence. Your life, when you lose it without God, is gone forever. Death, of course, is a sobering thought, and here Jesus speaks about death in verse 27 and 28. He speaks about death and judgment. Death in the Bible is not just a physical phenomenon. The Bible teaches us that death is the result of sin. It's not something natural. The wages of sin is death. And when you put all this together, death actually is a spiritual crisis. Because the person who is dying, in the next moment, he will appear before God in judgment. And then God will decide his destiny. And God will deal with the destiny of his soul. Whether he will go to heaven or whether he will go to condemnation in hell. And so here death is really a spiritual crisis. And Jesus is saying if you lose that life by wasting that life totally, you can never get it back. Many ways to live and to waste my life. We can waste it in godlessness, self-indulgence, putting too much things on this life. But once it is lost forever. Jesus is coming, verse 27. And he will exercise judgment. And when he judges, he will not take your grades and your degrees. And then he will look, well done, you have scored A's and distinctions. Do not look at the career. Well done. You have climbed up the career ladder. You have been so successful in your business. Do not look at your assets and properties or your contributions to charity. Jesus will only look at one thing. Do you have God in your life? Because when you have God, then you have meaning in life. It's a different kind of life. There's a life of everlasting life in Jesus Christ. Have you believed in Christ? Have you turned to Him? Do you know who Christ is? The message this morning is to challenge you to think deeply about our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And you have thought through your life, and if you think that God is speaking to you and that you need Christ in your life, this is what you must do. First of all, you must confess your sin. By that I don't mean you say to God, I've wasted my money, I've wasted my properties. By that I mean you confess that you have wasted your life, and that you are a sinner and sin has controlled your life for so many years, and you have no God in your life. And now you confess, oh God, I need you, because I am a sinner. I need Christ as my Savior. Secondly, you must believe in Christ only to take you out of this life. I take Jesus Christ as my Savior. I believe He died and He rose again for my sin. And that in Jesus Christ, I know, oh God, that You will take me into Your presence. I believe in Christ. Number three, you repent from your sins. And that you turn away from a wasted life, a life of indulgence, a life of self. You return to God and you say to God, now I surrender my life to You. I follow the Lord Jesus Christ. What is your life worth? It's not measured by things. It's measured by one thing. The Lord Jesus Christ. Is He in your life? Let's pray. Father in heaven, we pray that the words may search our heart, and that the words may speak to us about our condition, and that we may have the grace, O God, to turn to You. O God, give us faith, that we may know how inadequate this life is and how wasteful it is, and that in Christ we have everything for a new life. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.